B-Pod Studios.
Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
This week, we talk about the hottest thing in professional wrestling right now, that is Becky Lynch. Is Dean Ambrose really leaving the WWE? And we have some Twitter questions that we will answer. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985thesportshub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Mike, right now, there are really only two things that interest me in pro wrestling. The first is Becky Lynch. The second is Dean Ambrose. We should start with Becky Lynch. She is the hottest thing in pro wrestling right now. And if I'm being objective here, it's hard for me to do. Ronda Rousey versus Becky Lynch should be the main event of WrestleMania 35 in New York. Yep. It feels like WWE and their grand plan is to add Charlotte, which, of course, I'm for. But it doesn't feel like the fans are for it. So it's layered here. Do they need Charlotte in the match? Likely not. But adding Charlotte is a good thing. And with the way that Ronda's reaction has changed in the last few weeks, the WWE will have something on their hands that they haven't had for a number of years going into their biggest event of the year. And that is a clear-cut, cheered babyface. Mike Riley, what a concept that would be.
Yeah, you know, and I just think last week, here we are, Jimmy, after the Royal Rumble, where I was just determined that with Becky Lynch winning, losing to Asuka, and, you know, finding her way into the main event against Ronda Rousey after winning the Royal Rumble there, that is just your main event, those two right there. But seeing what's transpired here with Charlotte and all the foundation being layered down here after so much rumor and speculation throughout the last few months that this would be a triple threat, yeah, I just think it's a great character scenario for Charlotte as a heel. And I think both, and Jimmy, we all know that you are the Charlotte pom-pom leader of the pack.
100%.
And yeah, you wear it on your sleeve, and I have no issue with that. I think that's great. I think we both prefer her as a heel.
Oh, 100%. Right? She's tremendous as a villain.
Tremendous as a villain. Tremendous. And that is where I think they're going to cash in on that scenario. Does she need to be in the main event to answer your question? No. I am more than happy with her in there. Well, let me stop by saying main event, because we're not sure if it will be the main event, but it will be a main event caliber match. But yes, I don't think it's necessary to have her there. It makes it that much better, though, with her there. That you're talking about the three hottest superstars in the world right now. If you get her in that match, it's just so much better. But if you don't put her in there, have her go feud with, you know, go for the women's championship at SmackDown. You're damned. You're not damned if you do, damned if you don't. You're in a great situation, win-win situation here, with or without Charlotte in a potential women's main event with Ronda and Becky.
So as we're kind of talking, this popped into my head. Mm-hmm. It should be a triple threat match, I think, but that's also me wanting the UFC fighter Ronda Rousey, Ric Flair's daughter Charlotte Flair, who, if she's not the greatest female performer in the history of the business, she's on pace to be.
Yeah.
And Becky Lynch, who is the hottest thing in pro wrestling. Why not make it elimination style and have Becky tap out both Ronda and Charlotte? Then Becky Lynch really is the man. She beats Charlotte again, and then hands Ronda Rousey her first loss on the grandest stage. That's her moment. That's the thing she can brag about for years and years and years to come.
I think that's good. And it would be submission only, you're saying, right?
You would have Becky beat them both by the disarmer.
Put it in a cage. Steel cage.
No, you don't need the cage. You don't need the cage. It's she taps out Charlotte, which isn't really a big deal, but it is.
Okay.
And then have her tap out Ronda, which would be a really big deal.
Yeah, that's a huge deal. I'll give you that. I was going to say, too, how about ladder match, no holds barred?
Nah, you don't need it for this. Just triple threat, elimination style, last one standing wins.
Okay, I'm okay with that.
I think that would be
very, very sexy. It would be awesome.
What about God's greatest creation, Mandy Rose? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, she's very easy on the eyes. But you know what? It just makes it that much like you are the best. To have two of the best submit like that, I could get on board with that. And again, I really hope at this point that we do see the triple threat because you have the three best maybe in the entire company all right there. And I'm talking male and female roster. The three best. Go at it.
So the question that I have is what do we think will happen? And for me, it's if this match goes on in the middle of the card, Charlotte's winning. And it's not even debatable because I don't think that they would send home the WrestleMania crowd that angry that Becky didn't win. But there are two situations that are going here. For the long term of the WWE, which is something that in my mind, that Royal Rumble DVD where it's Michael Hayes telling Roman Reigns, don't worry about this crowd. This crowd isn't the important crowd. We're thinking global. We're thinking long term. So for the long term of WWE, Charlotte should be the first one to beat Ronda Rousey. As it stands right now, Charlotte is in the conversation for being the greatest female performer in the history of the company. And the notch of beating Ronda for the first time is a notch on the belt that can't ever be redone. Mm-hmm. And if they're thinking global, that's Charlotte beating Ronda clean in the middle. And then because Becky wasn't defeated, Becky now chases Charlotte again. And the WWE also protects a future Ronda versus Becky match at, say, SummerSlam or Survivor Series.
Right.
But to be clear, the short-term play and what I actually think is the right play is Becky goes on last, one-on-one match with Ronda, beats her clean in the middle, and then you go back to Charlotte and Ronda down the road.
So you're saying the only way you get Becky and Ronda in the main event is if it's a one-on-one, and then if you have a triple threat, you go middle of the card.
No, I do triple threat either way, but it's a matter of who's winning the match.
Okay, so in that scenario,
if Charlotte's winning the match and she's walking in the villain,
then you do middle.
You have to do it in the middle of the card,
yep,
and then you have Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar at the end of the night.
If it's
Becky who's winning over both of them, she goes on last, and you send the crowd home happy.
Well, you know what? I don't think they're going to – and I'm not in the brain of Vince McMahon, but I am just thinking here from his perspective. I don't think he's going to make a decision on this until maybe days before.
No, they'll make the decision the week before.
I don't know.
There's too many elements to go into it. Like they can change they can change the finish of a match in the middle of a match if they want to.
Of course, but we've seen it over time that, you know, he'll see the way things work and house shows and how the crowd reacts. And if the crowd really is going to give Charlotte the heat and Becky's still getting the hot stuff over the next 6 weeks before WrestleMania, then I don't know. That is the one where it could close out. And yeah, you do have the man being the one that's holding the championship at the tail end of it there, because we've started to see the heat now with Ronda Rousey too. She's not exactly no baby face anymore, you know? So this would be the perfect scenario for Becky Lynch to close out the show right there as the final match. And I'm sorry, with all due respect to anyone that loves Seth Rollins, and I'm having a hard time finding anyone that loves Brock Lesnar. If you do, raise your hand.
Wrestler of the year.
Okay. but we know people that love Seth Rollins. I think a lot of people would rather see a women's triple threat match to close out WrestleMania over Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins. I am dead serious. And I hate to say it too. I think a lot of people may be put to sleep with Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar at the tail end of WrestleMania after a 6-hour show.
Put to sleep is a little strong, but I appreciate that. I appreciate the strong opinion.
Thank you.
I just think Becky needs to go on last, and Becky needs to win.
Put it in,
and that's the short term play, and you know, everything else kind of be damned. I do want to close up the topic with this little nugget.
Yep.
I do find it interesting that one needs to be medically cleared for WrestleMania more than 60 days away from the event.
Yeah, it's a little bizarre. And you can just tell this whole storyline, they're going to ride it out.
They're trying to make her Steve Austin, and I get it. But the easier story to tell, in my opinion, and it would be a unique one, at least that I can think of, is Becky illegally entered the Rumble, but she won the Rumble, so she gets the match. And Charlotte is protesting because she was the second to last one eliminated, and she should be there. It makes Charlotte come off as a whiny person, and it's an easier story that they can revert back to footage and this, that, the other thing, rather than suspending Becky because she has a knee injury and won't see a doctor. And I mean, the easy solution is they send her to an independent doctor.
Yeah.
I mean, and then the story's closed. But 60 days away, you need to be medically cleared.
Yeah, it's a little odd. And the queen saying, okay, you know what? I am the one that has the throne. You both are trying to take my spot, and that's not going to happen. So that's where they can really have some fun with that there with Charlotte's character.
Of course. And, you know, Charlotte's the greatest ever.
Yeah, she's up there.
The night after this, that's a topic for another day, as we'll actually rank them. Maybe we'll wait until after Charlotte beats Ronda at WrestleMania.
I don't know about that. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't know about it either.
But that's a great topic, though. I would really look forward to that.
Lists are always interesting for the internet. I don't know.
A lot of fun. No, they're good.
We're not at WrestleMania yet. The night after the Royal Rumble, a number of wrestling news outlets had a story about Dean Ambrose not renewing his contract when it expires in April. And the WWE actually released a statement on it, Mike.
Yeah, that was weird. That was bizarre.
Dean Ambrose, parentheses, Jonathan Good, will not be renewing his contract with WWE when it expires in April. We're grateful and appreciative of all that Dean has given to WWE and our fans. We wish him well and hope that one day Dean will return to WWE. Mike, the thing that struck me was that last sentence. Hope that one day Dean will return to WWE. So, is this real? Is he really leaving, or is this a storyline?
Yeah, you're right. That's the number one thing that was a huge exclamation point for me too, that final sentence there. And it seems like that this is a work. It really does. If that were the case, I think they'd say, okay, WrestleMania, that's your last one. We're not going to have you do the house show circuit, although we want to get as much out of you as we can. And then also, you got to kind of bring Renee Young into this a little too, because, you know, we in real life, they're married and she's on Monday Night Raw now. It's not the same scenario as when Bret Hart was screwed, left, and Owen Hart stayed. They're brothers. This is a spouse.
CM Punk is the more recent comp. Because CM Punk left while AJ, I think she was still the Divas champion.
Yeah, if not, she was.
But if not, she was still a pretty main player in the Divas division.
She was up there. She was up there, yeah. I just think that you got to bring her into the picture too, and that's strange to have that last sentence there. So in the very end, it looks like a work. But Jimmy, again, we live in the era of social media, and we have to look up rumors here and so much. So what's the first organization that comes to mind if Dean Ambrose were to leave WWE and not return as they hope for him to return?
What do you think? For me, it's Ring of Honor.
Okay, for me, it's AEW.
And that's what everybody assumes, is that it's AEW. For me, it's Ring of Honor, just because I know he has strong connections with a lot of people in that locker room. Mm-hmm. And not to say that he doesn't in AEW, it's just if he's leaving WWE, I think it's for creative, not necessarily for money, and maybe he can get both at AEW. I just know that Ring of Honor has an idea that I think would work great with him.
Well, okay, I can get behind that. But the AEW thing, there are two things that came out to mind here, and I'm sure you know about he and Chris Jericho being very close. And also, the AEW pay-per-view, Double or Nothing, Memorial Day weekend in Las Vegas, which I might be at, by the way. It's where he lives.
Yep.
So parlay both of that, no pun intended. And there you go, right there in May. So those are the two things that came to mind for me right there off the bat. And there were a couple of reports I saw that money was not a concern for Dean Ambrose, and he did reportedly get a 5-year deal with WWE worth $1 million a year.
Yeah, so, we talked about when we were going through people's salaries of the 12 people who make $1 million or more, and we think Dean was on that list.
Yeah. One other thing, though, that I found a little strange. The only other thing that they may want you to think about this is that on Monday Night Raw, he lost really fast to EC3.
He kicked out at 3, though.
He did. You're right. But he's also...
Which is something that I love, by the way. I love the fact that they have wrestlers who now kick out at 3. they can't overdo it because they've done it 4 times within the last 2 weeks. But it's one of my favorite things, is a wrestler kicking out at 3.
No, but I agree. But it's just like you're putting this guy over really fast like that, who's his first time ever. And then they put the tweet out and it says EC3, his first ever match, beats former WWE champion Dean Ambrose. So it's almost like it's a big moment for EC3, obviously, but at the same time, kind of like a little backhanded situation there toward Ambrose. And again, with the contract story here, it makes you think about it with the lack of respect.
Well, and I know for a fact that Ambrose wasn't happy. I shouldn't say I know for a fact. I feel pretty strongly in saying that Dean wasn't happy that he had to turn on Seth Rollins the same night that Roman announced he was sick.
Okay.
I also know that, well, I also think that he's been unhappy with WWE Creative. Mm-hmm. So if he's not extending his contract, then maybe he just needs a break.
Yeah.
And maybe he pops up at this show or that show or... You know, Ring of Honor, AEW, Impact, WWE, or maybe he just goes away for 6 months and maybe he doesn't come back. Maybe he does come back. But I mean, if you're on the shelf for, I think he was on the injured list for what, 9 months?
So that's right.
He had a staph infection, almost died. Maybe his life is a little different. His idea of life is a little bit different. And he seems like he's smart with his money.
Yep.
Lives in Vegas. Renee Young, his wife, is doing pretty well financially. Yeah. So it's not like he needs to work if he's unhappy going to the office every day.
Right.
So maybe he just needs a break.
Yeah. Just needs a little time away, clear his head. And, you know, it's so common where if you do end on a good relationship with anyone high up, that the door is always open for another
opportunity. Yeah, and Dean seems like he's always professional with these things.
Yeah. You know,
he might grumble about creative or not be too happy, but he goes out there, does the best he can.
Does his job, and, you know, he's a company man in the end, right?
Absolutely. Mike, you had a few things on your agenda.
Yeah, just some wild card items here. Grab bag it up, baby. Let's do it. So, after WrestleMania, of course, Jimmy, we know about this, and we were asked about this on our Twitter page this week at WrestleCast95 about after WrestleMania plans, what to do. But it is official, almost official. It will be announced that there will be a superstar shakeup April 15th, Monday Night Raw in Montreal, and it carries over the next night on SmackDown. So,
and Canada Cable Network actually ran the commercial for it.
There you go. So I'm sure once WWE does publicly announce that, it's official. That's why I had to be.
Because the television commercial that WWE produced isn't good enough?
But we're not in Canada. We're in the U.S.
Well, that's not my problem.
Yeah.
Canada is better than us anyway.
Wow. All right. Well, good night, Canada. So that's going to be interesting to see what happens after that. So much possibility. And again, it's just the best thing to go down after WrestleMania because, Jimmy, we've experienced it. It's a serious hangover. It is a serious hangover after WrestleMania. So that's a big thing right there. And then 2 weeks after that, you're going to have another pay-per-view in Saudi Arabia. It's going to be the first weekend of May. We don't know what that is going to be, though. Is it going to be another Greatest Royal Rumble?
No, it has to be something with The Rock. It has to be called like Rock Bottom or something, because isn't The Rock still getting $20 million to do this show?
I know. I haven't heard that being official yet, but yeah, it'll probably
Hey,
go
when
down.
The Prince wants The Rock, he pays top dollar. I get it. I appreciate
that. Totally. And let's see, one other thing here. Hall of Fame coming up in New York. They'll be announcing this soon. The original trio of the Hart Foundation, Bret Hart, the late Jim the Anvil Neidhart, and Jimmy Hart, who we had on a guest here back in October. So, going to be good.
Least downloaded podcast in the history of the podcast.
The least?
The least, yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, that's their loss.
Yeah.
How about the Diamond Dallas Page one?
Did well.
Wow.
Did well.
Saw DDP, by the way, at the Patriots after party Sunday night, Super Bowl. He was loving it.
Of course he was. So.
Yeah, free night out for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Isn't every night a free night out for him? I mean, how many? Hey, I bought the DDP yoga package a few years ago, and you can see.
First thing he said to me too, he goes, "Hey, good to see you. You know, I just wanted to go see Brian Flores. I got him on DDP yoga. He loves DDP yoga. I mean, that's his baby.
He's a salesman. I appreciate that.
I do.
He's a carny. We're all carnies to some degree.
That's it. Yep. You want to go over some questions or what?
We will do that next on the other side.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
If you follow our Twitter account at WrestleCast985, we put out a tweet, and by we, I mean Mike, because he is the social media communications director.
Well, thank you.
If you had a question, we were going to try to answer it. So this week, we're actually going to do it. So our first question comes from our friend Lauren. She asks, how do you feel about the negative reaction to Ronda Rousey the last 2 weeks? For me, I find it odd, but I understand it. Ronda's been put in a match with Becky Lynch, who's an organic babyface. So we've watched Becky grow up before our eyes in NXT, into the main roster, the third wheel in Dallas when Charlotte won the women's championship, she was the SmackDown women's champion, and abruptly lost it to Alexa Bliss. I think Becky went through like an 18-month stretch where the crowd was kind of cheering for her, but she was losing. She lost her opportunity. Well, the fans started organically cheering her at Money in the Bank last summer. Charlotte kind of, not through Charlotte's fault, but ended up taking away her opportunity in the match with Carmella at SummerSlam. And then the crowd was behind Becky so much when she slugged Charlotte at SummerSlam. And then Becky went on to beat Charlotte for the women's championship and then developed into the man. So we as WWE fans have that history with Becky Lynch. She's like our homegrown Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
So Mookie Betts was drafted and developed by the Red Sox. Becky Lynch was drafted and developed by WWE. Even if she was, and even she wrestled other places, like we feel like we've seen Becky Lynch grow up. And Ronda Rousey, who's been an outstanding rookie in WWE, but she came from UFC, and that's outside the wrestling world. So the analogy that I can put forth is, if you remember the show Married with Children, the Bundy family would always fight amongst themselves until somebody from the outside would get involved into a fight, and then the family would fight together, and they'd win. So that's kind of what's happened here, I think, with Becky, is Becky is so popular that whoever she's in the ring against And especially somebody who is a rookie in WWE and comes from an outside source of WWE, she's going to be booed. And that's no fault of Ronda Rousey. That's just the family sticks together.
Yeah, and you're right. She's been put into the scenario there against Becky Lynch, and I think that's why she is feeling the heat from the fans. She can very easily be a heel, too. You know, I just don't – I mean, I like Ronda Rousey. I think she's done a fine job in the ring as a performer. I know she had a hard time at the beginning connecting with the fans on the microphone, but she can really – she seems like the kind of character – that obviously can turn on you in a heartbeat, whether you're her friend or not. And I think that's where we kind of missed out on something because of the death of Jim the Anvil Neidhart, where I think that's where they were going in that scenario where it was going to be Ronda and Natty feuding. But I think Natty
I read that too. And I read that Vince was going to have Natty Neidhart as a villain going into WrestleMania against Ronda Rousey, which is the 100%. Worst call.
Yeah, I don't like that one.
And that's not disrespectful to Natty, but just listen to your market.
Right, exactly. But I think that's the scenario. To Ronda Rousey's credit, she can go in as the favorite where she's known as a UFC person. She's got the name there, but she can also go in as the heel where she doesn't have so much personality on the microphone. She's got that kind of angry face, poker face more or less, too, if she's not talking or happy, and she can do that. So that's to her credit. But she's gotten a lot of heat, though, over the last couple of weeks, and that's all because of the Becky Lynch.
And I think one thing to also bring up, Ronda's promos are not smooth.
Mm-mm.
And I think if they did less, and I've actually talked to somebody in the company about this, and my statement to this person was, you don't have anybody who's good enough in that company to do 10-minute promos. And their response was, really, we shouldn't have anybody who's doing more than 3 minutes on promos. So somebody loves these 10, 15-minute promos that has a lot of swing, because the vibe that I get is, 3 minutes. If you can't get your message out in 3 minutes, you shouldn't be. There's nobody who's that good right now.
Yeah, it's the old thing. Even with the speech, if you're making one, always, if you're doing a 10-minute speech, grab them in two, but don't lose them in three.
I've never heard that before.
Well, there's a first for everything. There you go.
Jed wants to know, who is facing Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania?
Is that Boston Jedi?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know.
So I thought it was going to be a good guy, Miz, but it looks like he's in a program with Shane right now. Yep. I think it should be Samoa Joe, because I just want to see Daniel Bryan and Samoa Joe. There's an obvious logic hole there. But I'd be willing to say at this point it's a multi-person match, just because I'm not sure they can extend the AJ Styles program another 60 days. Maybe they can. But, I mean, do you do AJ Styles versus Daniel Bryan in a ladder match?
You got to put a stipulation in. If you're going to go that route, you have to put something. Because I can't – I mean, listen, I love AJ Styles, and I respect the hell out of Daniel Bryan too, but I can't do this again. I can't. That was terrible, that match at the Royal Rumble. And the way it was booked at the tail end of it, we talked about it here last week. I just – give me a ladder match. Give me a even a hardcore match, something, anything. Can't do one-on-one again. Just can't do it.
I think if their Rumble match was better, which, by the way, I went back and watched independently of anything else, and just I wasn't feeling it, which is unfortunate because I love those two performers so much.
Yeah, so I think a multi-one would make sense. Maybe they're trying to push Jeff Hardy a little bit too, give him a shot. If you are going to go multi-throw him in there, on that, say it's a triple threat or a fatal four way, you give him like that wild card spot, let him do the majority of the work, right?
I wonder when Matt Hardy's coming back.
Oh!
WWE is either going to or has already picked up the options on the Hardys.
Okay.
Or at least that's my understanding, which will probably be wrong. John wants to know, do you see the Undisputed Era being called up? For me, maybe the night after WrestleMania, but I ask, where do they fit in? WWE already has too much talent on their main roster, and if they're not coming up in a main event position, I just don't see any reason to. NXT is still a touring brand, and they need main eventers, and the Undisputed Era, you could make an argument, are the best group in NXT, and they might even be the best group in wrestling, or at least WWE wrestling. I mean, we know that the Kingdom is the best group in all of pro wrestling. But
absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I just if you're going to bring up the Undisputed Era, they got to be in a main event position.
Yeah, and you know, the only, well, I don't know, you're right about that, but also I think another thing that we've seen the NXT people get a little push is at the Royal Rumble. They showcase them there on the main event stage, but you could put them in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal too. Throw a couple of those guys in there, test the water, and then bring them in full time after WrestleMania. But that's probably the earliest you're going to see them. Not anytime soon, though.
Our friend Carl has two questions. With Raw in late March at TD Garden right before WrestleMania, will Gronk be appearing at one or both? I can see Gronk showing up at WWE shows, whether it be Boston, Orlando, WrestleMania. I can see it, but I don't know for sure. I think Gronk's trying to figure out his future going forward, but I could absolutely see him sitting in the front row in Boston, you know, doing something with somebody, and or being in New York for WrestleMania and sitting front row and, you know, helping Mojo win or do something. I can definitely see him doing something, but I don't know if he's doing anything.
So 2 years ago, when Gronk helped out Mojo Rawley to win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, that, of course, was at WrestleMania. But then a week later on SmackDown, which was in Boston, a week later, he was in the front row. Here we are, same scenario, except Raw is here before WrestleMania. So perfect scenario to put him front row, interfere somewhere, and then help out his buddy in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Maybe go after your boy there, Jinder Mahal again, set that up at Mania. So I could totally see that happening right here in Boston. And then, of course, if you really want to roll the dice, again, no pun intended with the betting term, SmackDown is at Mohegan Sun the following night after Raw. So a couple of options to play with there, either Boston at the Garden for Raw or SmackDown the following night at Mohegan Sun before WrestleMania.
One thing to note here is I think Gronk's participation in that Orlando WrestleMania altered wrestling and hindered Jinder in the way that we probably would have viewed Jinder Mahal a little bit differently if he had won that battle royal and then went on to win the WWE championship. But instead, he loses to Mojo Rawley because of a non-wrestler's interference and then gets the title, and we mock it more than maybe we should have.
And then, of course, here we are. We got, you know, your three-time Super Bowl champion, Rob Gronkowski, really, too, being healthy, hot off of that, being at Raw or SmackDown, perfect scenario. It's going to happen.
Carl's second question, two pay-per-views on the way to Mania, too much or enough? I wouldn't have any pay-per-views on the way to WrestleMania. I think you need to let Raw and SmackDown, your television shows, tell your stories and not to have these blow-off matches before WrestleMania. We have too many special events as is right now, and they're too long. So you have to figure out a way to get to WrestleMania in 70 days without having a special event. You have to figure it out. Because, two, like, we're doing the Elimination Chamber, and why?
Right.
We're doing Fastlane, and why? Like, yep. We know the Royal Rumble winners. We know who they're challenging. Use your TV to set up the other programs. Do a tournament to see who fights Asuka for that title. Do a story. Like, I think they're building to Finn Balor versus Bobby Lashley for the Intercontinental Championship, but it's got 60 days to WrestleMania. That's not going to make it that far.
Yeah, and you know what? It's like,
so Finn Balor is going to win at Elimination Chamber, or is he going to win at Fastlane, or is he not going to win?
Right.
What's the special events? Like, if Finn Balor wins the Intercontinental Championship before WrestleMania, that to me is a disappointment. In the same way, by the way, a few years ago, Charlotte's pay-per-view win streak ended at the hands of Bayley on Fastlane.
Yeah, who cares about that? Like, do we really care about, with all due respect, do we really care?
Which means
care
you don't respect them at all.
No, do we really, you're kind of right, respect those two? Now look what you put in my mouth there, Jimmy. Do we really care about those two pay-per-views going into WrestleMania? No, we care about the Royal Rumble and we care about WrestleMania. And me being an old school fan, you know, you remember this, Jimmy, in the 90s when there were five pay-per-views.
Four pay-per-views. Four pay-per-views, and then add King of the Ring.
Yeah, that's so four or five. You know, you would.
It was also a different time, Mike, where your business was more how show based, and your TV was syndicated, and it was a more promo based company. And now this is part of the watering down of wrestling, because they're about to get $2 billion for the next 5 years from two TV networks. So they have to play more in the same way that WCW was a TV company.
Right.
They have to be more of a TV company than a house show or a pay-per-view company.
And that's why you're getting the pay-per-views. But I'm just saying, I was about to say, go back to the old day scenario where you had the Road to WrestleMania showdown like a week before WrestleMania, or even throw in a Saturday night's main event here or there, big build-up to it, or the SummerSlam showdown before all that with a few big matches, but not all your big-time guys that you're going to have at Mania. Again, it's hard for me to get excited for those two going into it, but it is what it is, and here we are. It's 2019.
But so for a smaller example, right, like Daniel Bryan versus Jeff Hardy, that's a match that really interests me. And if done properly, that's a pay-per-view main event somewhere.
Sure.
Here, it's on TV for free. Well, I mean, we pay for cable, but work with me here. It's a television match that gets thrown together as an idea on social media Sunday at the earliest, and they tell the story in the 2 hours that these two are fighting. Why? Because Jeff Hardy is offended that Daniel Bryan threw the leather championship into the trash. It's not exactly a great compelling storyline, but it's what they came up with.
Yeah, and it's a filler.
But Jeff Hardy versus Daniel Bryan, that should be a main event on the house shows. That should be a pay-per-view main event.
Yeah.
And that's a good, it's a good match. It's a good match.
Yep, both very talented.
You know, and if they were to tell the story of Jeff Hardy's last run, you know, him against Daniel Bryan would be pretty good.
That'd be a great matchup, yeah. Good rival.
Let's see here. Joe wants to know, how would you book WrestleMania at this point? We kind of, in the short term, Becky goes on last, beats Ronda and Charlotte clean in the middle. I would have Samoa Joe beat Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship, and I'd have some sort of combination of Bryan versus Seth Rollins versus AJ Styles in a match for the WWE Championship. Those would be my three top matches for WrestleMania. How I got to those cross-brand things, I can do on my own time and explain later if you're really that interested. But those would be my top three matches.
Okay, I can get behind that. You know, another thing I thought of here with Daniel Bryan to that earlier question, and this goes into the how do you book WrestleMania, I have a new thing. I think you have Daniel Bryan fight John Cena.
I thought of it too, and the chase for 17.
Yep, I there you go. So that's the question that we answered from Boston Jedi, and here we go. How do you book it? So you put John Cena and Daniel Bryan it's not going to be last. It's going to be like maybe second to last.
But you know what? If it's John Cena's chase for 17,
then you do it last.
That has to go on last.
Which I am fine with. I have no issue with that. As it should.
It 100% has to, because that is a history-making moment.
New York. You know, it's
New York. Cena beat The Rock there.
Yep. Yeah. So I think that would be a scenario.
Oh, hey, and
Samoa Joe,
hey.
Right? Yeah. So Samoa Joe, Daniel Bryan. throw in maybe even John Cena, you know, a fatal four way.
Sorry about that. We're recording this at the end of SmackDown, and Samoa Joe is right now choking out Daniel Bryan, and that's why I popped for it, because I'm here for Samoa Joe and Daniel Bryan.
You are a big Samoa Joe guy.
I love Samoa Joe. I've followed his career from his Ring of Honor days and that long title reign, and he's such a badass.
He really is.
I was in an armory in Cambridge, Massachusetts, when Mick Foley endorsed Samoa Joe as like the next great wrestler, and this was before he was Ring of Honor champion. Wow. I think it was before he was Ring of Honor champion, but ever since then, because Mick Foley, of course, my favorite wrestler of all time, endorses somebody, I'm on the bandwagon.
Sure, rightfully so.
You know, and I've had a few interactions with Joe, and just first class individual, at least to me. So
yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's why Joe is one of my favorites.
I'll always remember him at the awesome show at the Lasher Park in Lowell, August 2015. He was there, and then if the Kingdom was there, Mike Maria and Matt Taven, of course. Just a great, great show, and Joe Samoa Joe was there for that.
That was Joe's last independent wrestling match before he went to NXT.
Yep, yep. It was awesome. Really good. So that's what I see right there for how to book WrestleMania as of now.
So one final question is coming at the last minute. This comes from James in Dorchester.
Oh.
James wants to know, Mike, how was your Super Bowl weekend? You actually went to the game.
Jimmy, it was the greatest night of my life. And you and I have been to WrestleManias together. I know you've been to a couple of Super Bowls. This was the first ever Super Bowl I have ever attended. And if you are a sports fan, whether it be your team in there or not, you have to go to at least one in your life. I strongly recommend it. And the icing on the cake was the after party, which was phenomenal. Paid the price with the hangover yesterday, but it was just fantastic. And it's one of the top three moments of my life, hands down, right there. So definitely a great time, and it's even better when the Patriots win. Six-time world champs, Jimmy.
Awesome. I figured I'd save that for the end if people made it to the end of the episode. So,
I respect that.
Yeah, you know, it's a wrestling podcast, but I wanted to make mention that you were at the Super Bowl, which is a very cool thing.
No, thank you. How many have you been to? Three?
I have been to one.
Is it one?
Yeah, I was at the Arizona Super Bowl where they lost the perfect season.
Oh, jeez.
And ever since then, I won't go to another one.
But you worked a radio
show. I was at 50. Yeah. I was at the Peyton Manning one.
Right, right. Did you go to the game? You did go to the game.
I did not. I flew home. I flew home the morning of the game.
Yeah, but you were Radio Row, though. I remember.
The highlight of that week for me was seeing Metallica in their hometown.
With Mike Thomas.
With the boss.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. He was on the float today, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Who put that together, Zoe?
Well, we're business partners. I mean, we're linked to the Patriots for the next, I don't know how many years. Well, actually, I do know how many years. I just can't say how many years.
That's fine.
So we're business partners with the Patriots. So that's how that came about.
Wow, that's awesome. Good for him.
Yeah, agreed.
So I was walking
He's
up
a Chicago Bears fan.
Oh, I know. I saw him wear that shirt there. I'm like, oh, my God. But I will say this. I was walking up. Mike was in my section. We're in the same section. I'm walking up the concourse. He's about 20 rows behind me. And I'm like, hey, Mike. He goes, hey, Sarge, how are you? And, you know.
Did he really call you by your gimmick name?
He did. He always does. Oh, God.
I have to talk to him about that.
Oh, stop it. Come on. He always does do that, though. But he introduced me to his son. And I came back down. And I'm like, Mike, that's for you. Gave him a Bud Light. So I had a chapstick on for the boss there, Jimmy.
Good job. Good job. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5thesportshub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. For Mike Riley at Sarge985, the show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. You can follow me on Twitter at IamJamesStewart, and we'll be back with hopefully a much better episode next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.